Good morning, everyone. So you go on vacation for a week. How's Rupert Murdoch doing? Anything happened with him?
Are you connecting your vacation with the fall of News Corp?
We'll get to that. We'll get to the Murdoch
what
story.
What exactly
Big
did you do
news
on vacation?
There on News Corp. Well, yeah, I paid no attention to what was going on with News Corp.
Good
but
idea.
Not today. We'll definitely be paying attention a little later this hour. But some things never change, like the fight over the debt ceiling. That's still going on.
That needs to change.
Yeah, it does need to change. And here's one way to do it. Donald Marin joins us. He's director of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center and author of an article in yesterday's Christian Science Monitor called, funnily enough, America Doesn't Need a Debt Limit. Donald, good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us is our good friend Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
So we asked both of you to be on the program because you are voices distinctly not part of the intransigent negotiations that don't seem to be accomplishing much in Washington, D.C. Donald Marin, why does the U.S. even have a debt ceiling to vote on one way or another?
Well, you know, in olden days, we used to have a system where Congress had to vote to approve each and every debt issue that the government needed. And at some point, we were issuing so much debt in the early 1900s that they came to the realization that they ought to just have one big overall limit.
But why vote at all? I mean, is this some sort of puritanical kind of, you know, we're guilty about going into debt, so therefore we have to vote on it? I mean, in Europe and other countries, they don't have these kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, I view it as basically a historical anachronism at this point, that people used to perceive it as a useful tool for limiting what we do on the budget front. But really, as you say, most other nations have decided that the time you want to control how much debt you're going to go into is when you're deciding how much you're going to spend and how much you're going to tax.
Mm. And indeed, having a vote hasn't exactly limited things. Where does the debt stand right now? That's Donald Marin, director of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. Louise Story is also with us. Louise, listen to this. Here's George Soros speaking this morning.
Well, I think in Europe, the euro is a real crisis. It's a crisis of the European Union, not only of the euro. Whereas this budget dispute in the United States is mainly theater. It's going to be solved. I'm not worried about it.
He's a billionaire. George Soros says it's mainly theater. Louise Story, do you think it's just theater in Washington? The markets aren't viewing it that way.
Well, you know, these actors, I guess in this analogy, the politicians are not as entertaining to watch as Hollywood actors. But, you know, what's amazing is that they lift the federal limit all the time. They lift the debt limit all the time. They've lifted it 10 times since 2001. And usually you hear nothing about it. You know, they tuck it into a stimulus bill. But this time, for some reason, it's become very political. It may be because people are assessing just how much we've been waiving in the debt. You know, just back in 2007, the debt limit was down at $9.8 trillion.
Wow.
You know, now we're over $14 trillion. If they lift it, they'll probably lift it above $16 trillion. So, you know, you don't have to be a great mathematician to realize that that's a lot since 2007.
And indeed, to turn the aircraft carrier when you've got that level of steepening trend is going to be difficult. So in a sense, having the vote or having to vote on it becomes a real obstacle to actually making a change in policy. Donald Marin, you were once the director of the Congressional Budget Office, right?
Yep, acting director.
Now, how would a role like that either help or hinder in the negotiations that are taking place in Washington?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I'm sure the folks over there are feeding the various sides of these discussions information about how much they could potentially save by undertaking various spending cuts and revenue changes.
Well, Donald Marin, a director of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center, at this point, if nothing else, perhaps the debt ceiling is doing what it may have been partially intended to do over the years, which is bring about a discussion over income and revenue versus what we're spending and versus what we're bringing in.
Yeah, so it's absolutely forcing that discussion now, and I do hope that this time around we use it as leverage to do something intelligent on our budget trajectory. Unfortunately, it also brings out a lot of what you would call sort of partisan posturing. You see that if you look out over the debt limit votes we've had over the last decade, it's very much something where whoever's in the minority gets to grandstand about voting no, while whoever's in the majority has to bear the brunt of voting yes. And I don't think that necessarily brings forward the most cogent discussion of our budget situation.
Although, Donald Barron, if they were to actually solve this problem, as you've suggested, that at least having a debate, a realistic debate about spending cuts is the consequence of having this debt ceiling crisis right now, that would mean that this is no longer political theater, that it's actually substantive, and that would have an impact on the markets.
Well, that would be beneficial. We shouldn't rule out, however, the possibility of having a more normal process by which we would reach these kinds of decisions. At this time of year, we're supposed to be going through the normal budget process that Congress has. I think there's some various things we could do to improve that so that folks would take it more seriously. But there are other ways to get Congress to act.
Louise Story, if the debt ceiling was removed tomorrow, let me magically just remove it and say, you know, we're not going to just do this anymore. I gather, you know, the Treasury would be able to raise the debt ceiling on its own or decide how much we go into debt. Well, how would the markets react to that? Would they go, thank goodness, or would they go, oh, my goodness, the Treasury is out of control and the entire global economy is going to go to hell in a handbasket?
So it depends what the removal of the debt ceiling means. On the one hand, you could give the Treasury Secretary this magical power to spend as much as he wanted. And I think that here on Wall Street, most people would tell you that would be horrible. Bondholders are concerned about getting paid back. And if you just let the Treasury Secretary, you know, take it up to whatever, $30 trillion, the U.S. would not have enough money to pay back bondholders, probably. So that would not be looked upon favorably based on the people, investors I talk to. But on the other hand, if you removed the debt limit and you went back to how it was in the United States before 1917 when they introduced the debt limit, what you did back then was if Congress wanted to overspend on any matter, they had to specifically put it in the bill and tell the Treasury Secretary, this borrowing is for this war, or this borrowing is. And so each bit of borrowing was really allocated to a purpose. That's very different from now, where the borrowing just goes to whatever it goes to.
Any discussion on Wall Street of if they solve this problem, that would be a boon, Louise Story?
Well, a lot of people on Wall Street are talking about a better budget overall. You know, they're really not so focused on the debt ceiling being raised because most people here think it will be raised. What people are really wondering is, what is the government going to do? What trade-offs will they make to bring the budget under control? And will that help or hurt the economy?
T-minus 2 weeks and counting until the day of reckoning. Let's Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and Donald Barron, former acting director of the Congressional Budget Office back in 2006. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.